Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you are not restricted to any one generation, any one location, any one nation, any one language, but that you are the God of all the earth throughout all time and all the ages. Lord, because of our faith in your power, we ask that you might manifest in this very moment through the power of your Holy Spirit because of the finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, to the end that we might not leave this moment the same as we entered it, but that we might leave here looking a little bit more like your Son, letting the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, shape us into who you called us to be. Because it is by the name of that Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Refuge, I'm excited, people of God. I'm excited, my brothers and my sisters in Christ and creation, to see what the Word of God has for us on today. So I want you all to meet me in Matthew chapter 13, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. I'm only going to read verses 31 and 32, two verses that I think have a lot to tell us about God's will for us in this season. And I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, as I often do, because I like the way that it reads. I like what I'm able to glean from the way that they put that together. It might differ in phrasing from your copy of God's Word, but I can assure you that we can learn the same lessons, that it means the same thing, that it is of the same God. So Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 31, it says, here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make nests in its branches. That is the word of the Lord on today. And if you guys would allow me for the next few moments, I would like to talk with you all about how a seed can change the world. Yes, how a seed can change the world. Because if I'm being perfectly honest with you all, there are times that the task of faith, this life of faith, seems impossible. Yeah, this prospect of walking by faith and not by sight can sound unreasonable at best, and outright dangerous at worst, when the territory that we're walking through is hostile. Why would I want to walk without my sight? Now, while we recognize that we are saved by grace through our faith in Jesus Christ, that deliverance can feel awfully dependent on the size of whatever mess we happen to find ourselves in. It's true. I recall the exciting and empowering words of Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 12, when he tells us that anyone who believes in him will do the same works that he has done, and even greater works. And I think on those words, and I wonder where my superpowers went. Because my works feel pretty daggone regular when I play the tape back. Simply put, I often feel like I know a lot about Jesus. At the same time, I wonder if I'm really his disciple. You see, being a disciple of Jesus means being a student of Jesus. It means studying him intimately and letting his example shape the core of my being, how I view the world, how I interact with others, who I make sure to help and who I speak prophetic truths to, who I make sure to handle sensitively and who I'm okay with upsetting, when it's time to minister to the crowd and when it's time to feed the crowds, which tables are for sharing meals and which tables are for flipping. Because being a disciple of Jesus means learning how to live under the lordship and kingdom of one who came to set a broken world back in working order. A kingdom in which the first are last and the last are first. A kingdom in which peace is the default and war is a foreign artifact. A kingdom where love is the law and we are able to recognize fully able to recognize the image of God in every human being that we come across and those we've not yet met. Being a disciple means joining Jesus as inheritors of that kingdom. But how do we get there without the ability to see and to perform miracles and signs and wonders? How can we be disciples when the circumstances in which we find ourselves often resemble the bad place and not the good place? I find myself in that struggle all the time. Yes, I believe in you, Jesus, but why do things look as they do? Why am I not able to do more through the power of your Holy Spirit to change the things that I see around me and to help the people around me? But as I reflect on this scripture, Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 and 32, the parable of the mustard seed, one of the shortest parables we have in scripture, I recognize that being a disciple of Jesus doesn't require us to do miracles, signs, and wonders, but to be faithful where we've been planted. I need to say that again plainly. If y'all don't hear nothing else I say on today, being a disciple of Jesus doesn't require all of the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, but to be faithful where we've been planted. The question then becomes, like, what does being faithful look like in that context? What does being faithful look like in that regard? What does faithfulness look like? And as I look at this scripture, the first step, being that faithful disciple, letting Jesus shape who you are and what you've been called to do, is to accept that you've been planted. Accept that you've been planted. Oh yeah, this one's gonna be easy as the ABCs. A, accept that you've been planted. The fact of the matter is that being planted is not exciting. It's a dirty process in which we get in the dirt and we bury something in there. As a matter of fact, to the untrained eye, to the casual observer, being planted looks a whole lot like being buried, like being hidden, like being forgotten, like being suppressed. But if you can acknowledge that you have been planted by God above wherever you happen to find yourself, and that you being planted there means that God sees it as fertile soil, you are on the first step of being faithful. The first step is to accept that we've been planted. It is to accept that you are beloved of God, that you have been chosen for this moment, for this season, wherever you find yourself to be, and accept that you have been planted. If you can accept that you've been planted, you are on the first step. You are headed in the right direction to being a faithful disciple. You don't have to be an Avenger. You don't have to put on a the Mission Impossible theme song. We don't need all of that to be a disciple. Sometimes it's a matter of accepting that you have been planted and not grumbling about the garden in which you find yourselves, but accepting that you have been planted. And after we accept that, we need to believe, I said easy as the ABCs, we need to believe that we are still growing. You see, a seed that has been planted, it's a boring process to watch. Unless you got one of them fancy little time-lapse cameras where you can speed things up and watch that development. Nothing exciting happens. You might see a little sprout every now and then, but before you know it, you have a whole stem and you don't even get to see all of the roots that have extended beneath the soil to provide a solid foundation and a solid stem for that plant, which later grows into something that bears fruit and more seeds and reproducing. You have to believe that you are still growing, because the scripture tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that is planted in the field. That's where we accept that we've been planted. And Jesus goes on to say that it's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. You see, part of being a faithful disciple of Jesus is embracing that process of becoming this small seed that grows into this large garden plant. And it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. You have to embrace and believe that you are still growing, that even though you're not seeing results in the time frame that you would like to, and even though things aren't being shifted at the speed at which you would like them to be shifted, that eventually you're going to grow. And even before you recognize it, things will shift around you. There's a giant park over along 268th Street down here in South Miami, right, called Air Base Park. And at one point in history, I believe that it was an actual residential community. So you can still see sidewalks. And along some of those sidewalks, you can see cracks in sidewalks that have been misplaced because some of the trees have grown so big. And you think about the fact that that sidewalk, that large slab of cement, was once meant to provide a path that was disrupted by the trees that follow their natural course. So if you can accept that you've been planted and believe that you are still growing, you don't need to activate whatever superpowers or whatever X-Men abilities you feel that you need to be a true disciple of the kingdom. You just need to believe that you are still growing. But even after Jesus tells us that it is the smallest of all seeds and becomes the largest of the garden plants, he tells us that it grows into a tree and that birds come and make nests in its branches. So after we accept that we've been planted and believe that we are still growing, we need to leave time to celebrate the wins. Yes, to celebrate the wins. That's the C, A, B, C. I'm almost done here. Celebrate the wins, because refuge will be found, sanctuary will be found, safety will be found in the environments that you help to create by accepting that you've been planted and believing in the growth process. One of the interesting things about this illustration that Jesus gives us is that birds only build nests when they're looking to reproduce. And what Jesus communicates in this parable is that by watching birds come to the branches of the tree that we've become, when they're ready to build nests, we become the launching place for new life and for new reproduction and for new ways of being and existing. And the other cool thing about birds nesting there is that as you continue to grow, because you've been faithful to where you've been planted, and the baby birds come that have been born in the branches of the tree that you've become because you've been faithful to where you've been planted, as they feed on the fruits that you've produced, and as those seeds move through their digestive systems and nature takes its course, they might help to plant more trees in your life. And the kingdom of heaven then, in that instance, is you being faithful to where you've been planted, believing in that growth process, watching all of the birds of the air who come to reproduce in your environments, helping to spread the environments that you first created through the seeds. Oh man, I hope somebody is getting this right here, right now. Let me put it to you another way. Jesus is the model for our faithfulness, because Jesus accepted that he was planted, literally put into the earth for 3 whole days. He accepted that being planted was a part of his faithful journey, his journey of faithfulness. And he knew with all knowledge of the universe that even when people deserted him left and right, even when all of those people deserted him, that they could still become his disciples, because being planted, being buried where he was not the end, but the beginning of the growth process. And then he got to celebrate the harvesting when he rose with all power in his hands on the third day. So when we want to be disciples, it's not a matter of making sure that we can walk on water and raise the dead and all of those things. It's a matter of being faithful to where we've been planted, accepting that we've been planted, believing that we're still growing, and celebrating the wins when we see people taking nest in the branches that have been born from our faithfulness. And I need somebody encouraged right here in this moment by the fact that just because you don't see the changes happening quickly enough does not mean that you are not being a faithful disciple of his kingdom. Accept that you've been planted where you are. Believe in that growth process and celebrate the fact that by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Son of God is accomplishing his purposes in your life, in your community, in your right here and right now. Somebody pray with me. God, we thank you for being a God who works behind the scenes, things that we can't even grab a full comprehension of, things that we struggle to understand in real time, but that you can make ways out of no ways. That you can turn our sorrow into joy. That you are a God who has claimed victory even over death. So Lord, when we struggle to accept where you've planted us, give us faith to accept your plan. When we struggle to believe that we are still growing, Lord, give us the wisdom to understand the process of this thing called life. And when we get stuck in the mundane areas of our lives, Lord, give us joy to celebrate that which you are doing right here in this very moment. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.